The following preview is of a graphic audio production rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
From the author of the critically acclaimed Elantris comes a beautifully crafted tale of dark intrigue, bitter rivalries, and powerful magic. In order to save his kingdom of Idris from certain annihilation, King Dedalan must honor a treaty made long ago. He must send his oldest daughter to marry Suzabron, the God King of Alondrin.
War is coming, Your Majesty. They will attack.
If we send her, Yarda, we send her to her death.
Sending Vivenna is a poor plan, but it's our only plan.
Father, if we break this treaty, it will mean war. I am prepared to sacrifice for our people.
Lord God of Colors, forgive me. Vivenna, you will not go to wed the tyrant god of our enemies. I'm sending Ciri to your place.
Ciri, the youngest daughter of King Dedalan, soon finds herself plunged into a world of intrigue and politics, inhabited by undead gods and zombie armies. And she quickly learns that there is a darkness spreading through the highest order of Alondrin, threatening to consume all she loves.
Vessel, doing your duty as the vessel was the danger.
You have to tell me something.
You must not bear him a child. That is the danger. This all, everything here in the palace, is not what it appears to be.
Cursed with a lecherous form of magic which causes her to feed off the souls of the living, Princess Vivenna battles to save the life of her sister and prevent the war engine of Alondrin from crushing her homeland.
Your father and Lemix were right. The Alondrin have everything to lose by not attacking you.
I'm not going to become an Awakener, Dim. I might turn a blind eye toward that lifeless for now, but I will not awaken.
Court of the Gods, the highest authority in all of Alondrin, Lightsong the Bold, resurrected hero of ages since past, must come to grips with his newfound immortality as he struggles to unlock the dark secret of the Pantheon of Gods and their unstoppable armies of the undead.
What do they want of me, Larimar? Do they really think I'll do it? Lightsong the Selfish, do they really think I'd give my life for one of them?
You offer hope, Your Grace. A last unlikely hope.
And if they're wrong, I have no desire to die. And why should it be otherwise? I mean, we have to die to heal one of them. We're gods to them only until they kill us.
And the key to halting the baying hounds of war may lie in the hands of the one man who wants to watch the world burn. Vasher, the Warbreaker.
Yeah. Are you here to free me?
No, Vahir. I'm here to kill you.
Don't miss Brandon Sanderson's high fantasy masterpiece, Warbreaker. Available now in graphic audio.
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents William W. Johnstone's Smoke Jensen, The Mountain Man 8. Code of the Mountain Man. Narrated by Mort Shelby. With performances by James Lewis, Michael Glenn, Stephen Carpenter, Andy Clements, Richard Rowan, Thomas Penny, Tim Getman, Michael John Casey, David Coyne, Elizabeth Jernigan, James Konacek, Ken Jackson, Jonathan Watkins, Terrence Aselford, Eric Messner, Dylan Lynch, Christopher Graybill, Joe Brack, Michael Replogle, Lily Beacon, Johann Detweiler, Nathan Bennett, Tim Carlin, Chris Rowan, Ren Casey, and Sonny Lasky.
Good morning, Abigail.
Good morning, Sally. And how are things out at the Sugar Loaf?
What on earth?
Bullet busted out the window of the general store and tore through cans of peaches. The second bullet hit Sally on the arm and knocked her down. Outside, a child and her dog were trampled under the steel-shod hooves of the galloping horses. It didn't take the rampaging outlaws long to discover they'd struck the wrong damn town. As men reached for their pistols and rifles and emptied a few saddles, they raced out of town shooting, but the damage had been done. No one knew why the outlaws chose to attack the town of Big Rock. It was a stupid thing for outlaws to attack any western town. For those who inhabited the towns of the West were veterans of the war between the states, veterans of Indian wars, buffalo hunters, men who had lived with guns all their lives. And Big Rock, located in the high up country of northern Colorado, was known to be off limits to anyone who sought trouble. And most trouble hunters were as careful to avoid Big Rock as they were to keep from sticking their hands into a nest of rattlers. Sheriff Monty Carson grimly surveyed the damage.
4 people dead, including a little girl. 6 more wounded, a couple of them seriously. Somebody ride for the Sugarloaf and fetch smoke. Sally's been hit.
Lord God Almighty, them outlaws don't know it, but they just opened the gates to hell.
Thankfully, Sally was not seriously injured, and she was able to be moved back to the Sugarloaf. There, it was decided a neighbor lady would stay with her, tending to her. And the hands who worked the Sugarloaf range would make damn sure no one tried to attack the ranch while smoke was gone. Sally made no attempt to dissuade her husband from saddling up. This was the West, and a man had to do what a man had to do. He was bound by unwritten yet strictly obeyed codes. Smoke kissed his wife goodbye, provisioned up, and rode out from their ranch in the high lonesome of northern Colorado. Alone. He didn't need a posse, and he didn't want to be hampered by one. Smoke had helped found Big Rock. His blood and sweat and time and effort were ingrained in the streets and the buildings. And those outlaws had shot his wife. Nobody heard his wife and lived to brag about it. Smoke was lean-hipped and tall, with wide shoulders and heavily muscled arms. His wrists were huge, and his big hands were as powerful as they could be gentle. His hair was ash blonde, cut short, and his eyes were a cold, unforgiving brown that rarely showed any emotion except when with his wife and children. His clothing was earth tones, his hat brown and flat-brimmed. A Winchester rifle was in his saddle boot, and he wore 2 guns, the left-hand gun worn butt forward, the right-hand gun low and tied down. He was just as fast with one gun as he was with the other. Some said he was the fastest man with a gun who ever lived, but he never bragged that he was a gunfighter. He was just a man you did not push. He carried a long-bladed knife that he shaved with on the trail, or fought with, whichever was the most important at the time. He'd been raised among old mountain men, and some called him the last mountain man. He made a small town by the Gunnison River just about dark. There was a hotel there where he could bed down for the night. He led his buckskin into the livery stable.
Hello, anyone here?
A boy appeared out of the gloom of the cavernous building. The man looked familiar, but the boy just couldn't place him. He took the coin the man offered him. It was a silver dollar.
Feed him good. Rub him down. Give him a bag of grain. You sleep in this place?
Yes, sir. Got me a room back yonder.
Don't you have a home, boy?
Yes, sir. But my ma lets me stay here during the night so I can earn extra monies to help out.
I'll leave my saddle here. You look after my gear.
Yes, sir.
Any strangers in town?
Three men rode in late this afternoon. They was too cheap to use the livery. They picketed their horses down by the river. They looked like hard cases. Guns tied down low. They looked just mean to me.
How'd they smell?
Sir?
Did you get close enough to them to smell them?
Yes, sir, I did, come to think of it. They sure did smell bad.
That's not the only thing that's really bad about them. Did they bathe?
Bathe? No, sir.
So they still stink?
I reckon so, sir.
I feel sorry for the Undertaker.
Smoked walked out of the livery stable, carrying his rifle with him. He headed for the hotel.
Good evening, sir. It certainly is a quiet evening in our town.
Mm-hmm. Got a register?
Yes, sir, right here.
There you go.
Thank you. Happy to have you here, Mr. Gent... Oh, my God. The dining room just closed, sir. But I can get you a plate of food sent up to your room if you wish.
I wish. Thank you.
We're a very modern hostelry, sir. We have the finest and up-to-date water closets.
Good. Give me the key to my room. Have the tub and the facilities filled with hot water and put a fresh bar of soap in there. Lots of towels. I like lots of clean towels.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. And I'm sure that room I assigned you has fresh sheets. As a matter of fact, I know it does. It's such a pleasure having you here with us.
Smoke's cold eyes stopped the desk clerk's chatter. It was like looking into a frozen hell. The tall man turned and walked up the stairs. As soon as Smoke cleared the second floor, the clerk reached for the bell.
Yes, sir?
We got big trouble. Get the marshal right now. Tell him to deputize the boys.
Yes, sir.
When Smoke came back down the stairs later, four of the men the marshal had deputized took one look at him and exited the lobby. They wanted no part of this hombre. They weren't cowards. They were all good, solid men who had used the gun on more than one occasion against outlaws or Injuns. But they were intelligent men.
You got business in this town, mister?
Yeah, but it's my business.
Well, maybe I'll make it mine.
That's your job. But I have a better suggestion.
I'm listening.
Go home. Make yourself a fresh pot of coffee. Talk to your wife and family. Tell your men to go home and gather their families around them. Get the citizens off the street.
I don't take orders from you.
I didn't give you any orders.
I'm not afraid of you, Jensen.
I can see that. You're a good man, Marshal. The town should be proud to have you behind that star, and the city council should give you a raise.
Well, my wife just baked a fresh apple pie. It'd still be warm.
Man shouldn't pass that up. Might insult his wife. My wife was insulted the other day when the gang those punks in the saloon was riding with shot her.
Was she bad hurt?
Caught her in the arm. They killed a little girl.
You have a good evening, Mr. Jensen.
Thank you, Marshal. I plan to.
Smoke stepped out of the lobby and moved to the shadows, standing for a moment. He worked his guns in and out of leather a few times. The grips of the .44s seemed to leap into his big hands. He stepped off the boardwalk and into the street, walking to the saloon. He stood for a moment at the bat wings, looking in, allowing his eyes to adjust to the lantern light of the interior. Then he stepped inside and walked to the end of the bar. The saloon was empty except for Smoke, the barkeep, and three unshaven and dirty men seated around the table next to a wall.
Whiskey, out of the good bottle. I don't like snakeheads.
Yes, sir. That's the best in the house, sir.
Thank you. Where's all your business this evening?
Oh, everybody left sort of sudden like a few minutes ago.
Is that right? Well, I can sure understand why.
Oh?
Stinks in here. Smells like a bunch of damn sorry punks whose mothers didn't teach them how to bathe regularly. Like that stinking bunch of crap over there at the table.
What's that?
You heard me, punk. I said you stink.
You're pushing, mister. You ain't got no call to say something like that.
I've been around skunks that smell better than you three.
Take him, Bob.
Yeah, Bob. Why don't you take me? Wouldn't be right for you to meet your maker smelling like an overused outhouse. Why don't you boys find a horse trough and take a bath?
I ain't a-going to meet my maker.
Oh, yes you are. All three of you.
You seem right sure of that.
I'm positive of it.
Three of us and one of you. You're either drunk or crazy.
I'm neither. But I'll tell you boys that you made a bad mistake getting tied up with Lee Slater and that pack of rabid hyenas that run with them. You made the next to the worst mistake of your lives when you attacked Big Rock the other day and shot those women and kids.
You the law, mister?
I don't need the law to take care of scum like you three.
We ain't with Lee Slater now.
You were.
You said next to the worst mistake, so that means we made a worser one.
You certainly did.
Well, damn it! You gonna tell us or not?
One of the women you shot was my wife.
And who might you be, mister?
Smoke Jensen.
Smoke pounded the man in the face. Followed that with a hard left fist that smashed into the punk's face. His nose exploded in a gush of blood and the blow knocked him to the floor. Smoke straightened up with his right hand full of 44, just as the pair at the table jumped to their feet dragging iron. Smoke shot him. One was hit in the center of the chest, dead before he hit the sawdusted floor. The second was struck in the throat, the 44 slug making a terrible mess. Punk he'd punched on the beak was crawling to his knees when Smoke jerked him up and threw him against the wall. The punk's ribs popped from the impact. His eyes filled with fear as he watched Smoke walk toward him. Smoke sent him sailing out the back wings. The punk fell off the boardwalk and landed in the street.
Help! Somebody come help me!
You think you're bad, boy? Then draw, you sorry piece of crap.
You ain't no badge toter. I got a right to a trial and all that. You can't take the law into your own hands.
Smoke stared at him. A dark stain began to appear on the front of the young man's dirty jeans.
You gonna let me get up, Jensen?
Sure. Get up.
Punk tried to fake Smoke out, drawing as he was getting to his boots. Smoke shot him in the belly.
You got an undertaker in this town, barkeep?
Yeah, sir. Got us the right good one.
Get him.
Right now, Mr. Smoke, you bet I'm gone.
The undertaker was there in a jiffy, dollar signs glowing in his eyes.
Ain't much to this bunch of trash. I'm gonna have to sell the gear to make any money.
You do that.
You know their names?
Nope.
Well, I have got to have something to put on the markers.
How about they should have bathed more often?
The marshal walked into the hotel's dining room early the next morning and walked over to Smoke's table. He laid several sheets of paper on the table.
These may help you.
They were flyers, wanted posters sent out by various law enforcement agencies west of the Mississippi River and by the federal government. One was of Lee Slater. Lee had to be the ugliest man Smoke had ever seen in his life. Ugly and mean-looking.
He sure isn't much for looks, is he?
Probably didn't win any pretty baby contests for sure. But he's a bad one, Smoke. Vicious. He likes to hurt people. Kills for no reason. These others ride with him. Deke Carey and Kurt Holt. They're both wanted for rape and murder. Everyone in his gang is facing either long prison sentences or rope.
So I heard. His gang was cut down by half a dozen when they hit Big Rock. But it's still a big gang.
The biggest still operating in the West, Smoke. 50 at least. Some place it are closer to 75. He's always run big bunches. I'll tell you what I know about him, and frankly, then I wish to God you'd leave town before some punk hunting a reputation finds out you're here.
I'll do my best, Marshal.
Mind if I ask you a question?
Not at all.
If you'd never seen him before, how'd you know it was Lee Slater who hit your town?
The sheriff recognized him. Monte Carson.
Oh. Old Monty was a rounder in his day, but he was never a crook. Just a bad man to fool with.
Marriage settled him right down.
It usually does. Ask you a few more questions?
Sure.
How old are you? Early 30s?
That's close enough.
I heard what happened to your first wife and baby boy, and I'm sorry. I won't dwell on that. But now you've married again, and a fine lady she is, too, so I'm told. But you're still apt to go on the prod every now and then. Why?
Louis Longmont asked me that a couple of years ago and then answered his own question. Maybe I'm the last mountain man, Marshal. There's something in me that screams out for the high lonesome. Something in me that can't tolerate punks and thugs and bullies and the like. Back in the hard Scrabble Hills of Missouri, while my daddy was off in the war, I kept body and soul together by eating turnips, when the garden came up, that is, and berries and what game I could kill. Many's the time I went to sleep with a belly growling, but I never stole. I never took what wasn't mine, and I won't tolerate them that do. Lewis said that some people think I have a Robin Hood complex, but that's not true. I just don't like the way laws are changing, Marshall. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. I honest to God read in a Chicago newspaper a couple of months ago that a man shot a burglar breaking into his home, and the police put the homeowner in jail. Can you believe that? What in the hell is this world coming to?
I know. I read about it myself. But it's the 1880s now, Smoke. You've got to change with the times.
Not me, Marshal. Somebody does me a hurt, I'll hunt him down and settle it. Eyeball to eyeball. Man kills for no reason, or kills trying to take what isn't his, hang him, because he's no good. Now, I read where the country is spending more money building prisons. It's a mistake, Marshal. 100 years from now, people will see that it's a mistake. But it'll be too late then. A man who'll lie and cheat and steal and hurt and kill people at 15 will do the same thing when he's 50. I don't care if this nation builds 10,000 prisons. It won't matter. It won't stop him. But a bullet will. I sassed my daddy when I was a kid. He knocked me slap to the floor. Now we got so-called smart folks back east saying that you shouldn't whip your children. If that silliness continues and catches hold, can you imagine what it'll be like in a century? There'll be no discipline, no respect for law and order. I whip my children, and I hug them, show them that I love them, and I tell them why I just put the belt to their ears. I respect the laws of God, Marshal. I'm an Old Testament man. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Hurt me and mine, and I'm coming after you. And man's laws be damned.
Yeah, I hope to God I'm not the lawman who ever has to come after you, Smoke.
That day's coming, Marshal, because I'll never change. Someday a posse will come after me, hunting me down like an old lobo wolf. And when they do, the land's gonna run red with blood, because I won't go down easy. Marshal, if a man is hungry, can't feed his family, just come to me, and I'll give them food. If they're down in their luck and really want to work, I'll give them a job, or find them one, or give them money to keep them on hunting for work and eating while they're doing it. But if I catch someone stealing from me, or hurting my family, or threatening me, he's dead on the spot. It's a funny thing about laws and lawyers, Marshal. You take a small town that just has one lawyer, he can make a living, and that's just about it. Let a second lawyer move in, and damned if they don't both get rich.
Smoke pulled out later that day. The marshal had told him some names of the men who rode with Lee Slater. Curly Rogers, Dirty Jackson, Ed Malone, Boots Pearson, and that just to name a few. They were all trash and scum, back shooters and torturers. Smoke headed south, staying between the Cibolla and Cochetopa rivers. Although the outlaws' trail was days old, it was not that difficult to follow. Their campsites were trashy reminders of just how sorry a bunch of people he was tracking. Tin cans and bottles and bloody bandages and torn, wore-out clothing clearly marked each night's site. With San Luis Peak still to the south of him, Smoke came up on a woman sitting in front of a burned-out cabin. Only the chimney remained. He noticed several fresh-dug graves by the side of the charred ruins. The graves had not been filled in. The woman's face bore the results of a savage beating. She looked up at him through eyes that were swollen slits. She had fixed her torn dress as best she could, but it was a little more than rags now.
You be the law, mister?
No. As far as I know, there's no law within 100 miles of here. You had anything to eat?
A biscuit I had in my pocket. The outlaws took in everything else before they put the house to the torch. I ain't able to move.
Smoke took a packet of food from his saddlebags and gave it to her.
I'll get you a dipper of water from the well.
I wouldn't. They killed my kid's dogs and dumped them in the well.
Then I'll get you some water from the creek.
I appreciate it. I tried to get around, but I can't. They kicked my ribs and left me for dead. I don't think I got long before I joined my husband and girls. Ribs busted off. tore up a lung. Hurts.
Smoke found a jug and rinsed it out, filling it up with water from the creek. Looking at the woman, he could see that she was standing in death's door. Sheer determination had kept her hanging on, waiting for help. Or more probably, he guessed, someone to come along that would avenge this terrible act.
Who dug the graves, ma'am?
I did. The outlaws made me. Then they used my husband for target practice. Made me and my girls watch. He suffered a long time. My girls was 10 and 12 years old. They raped me and made them watch. Then they raped the girls and made me watch. They thought they had kicked me to death. I lay real still and fooled them. They done horrible things to me and the girls. Things I won't talk about. I've been sitting here for 3 days, praying and passing out from the pain. Praying and passing out. Wishing to God somebody would come along and hear my story. Who you be?
Smoke Jensen.
Thank you, God. You sent me a warrior. I thank you.
Lee Slater's gang did this.
That's him. I heard names. Blackjack Simpson, Thumbs Morton, Bell Harrison, Al Martin. There was a Pedro and a Lopez and a Tom Post.
The woman fell asleep sitting up. Smoke walked to the graves and looked at the shallow pits. His stomach did a slow rollover. The man had been shot to ribbons, and he had died hard over a long period of time. The naked bodies of the children would sicken a buzzard. The kids had been used badly and savagely. Smoke filled in the holes and took a small Bible from his saddlebags. He read from the Old Testament, then set about making some crosses. He made 4.
I'm sorry. I must have fallen asleep. Them names was burned in my head. I made myself memorize them.
Smoke returned to the woman's side.
They was Zach, they was a Ray, and a Sandy, and some young punks called themselves Pecos and Crown. 3 more pimply-faced punks hung with them 3. They was all savages, just as mean and vicious as any man amongst them. They was called Concho, Bull, and Jeff. I recollect hearing a man they called Lake and another man they called Taylor. Dear God in heaven, it was long 2 days they stayed here. Did I dream it? Or did you put dirt over my family?
I buried him and read words from the Bible.
Thank you. I'm sorry, but I don't remember no more names of them outlaws.
I'll find out who the rest of them were. Did they all take advantage of you and the girls?
Yes, several times. One of my girls died while they was abusing her. You got kids of your own, Mr. Smoke?
Yeah.
Then you know how I must feel.
I do. Exactly.
I heard them say they was going to take over part of Colorado.
The only thing they're going to take over is a grave, ma'am.
That's good. You got a hole dug for me?
Yeah.
I reckon it's about time then. Thank you, God, for sending me a warrior.
Smoke buried the woman and moved on, making camp a few miles from the scene of cruelty and savageness. He would try that little town on the Rio Grande, on the southern edges of the La Garita Mountains, see if any of the scum had ridden in there.
What was the name of that place? Oh, yeah. Somebody named it Gap.
Smoke found out soon enough that there was not much to Gap. A saloon, a little hotel, a general store, a cafe and a barber shop. Maybe 2 dozen houses. Smoke swung down in front of the small livery and looked at the man sitting in a cane-bottom chair in front of the place.
That horse has got a mean eye on him.
Feed him, curry him, and take care of him. Give him all the grain he wants, and don't get behind him. He'll kick the crap out of you.
Gonna cost you extra for me to take care of that wall-eyed bastard.
Don't call him names. He's sensitive about that.
I'll make a deal with you. You stable and feed him, and I'll just charge you for what he eats.
That's fair enough. Livery looks full.
Bunch of lawmen here. United States Marshals. Staying over at the hotel. Chasing some gang they is. Don't I know you?
Never been here before in my life.
You sure look familiar. I seen your picture somewhere. Maybe on a wanted poster?
Not likely. I ranch up north of here, outside of Big Rock.
Well, that's Smoke Jensen's country. He's killed 1,000 men.
Not quite that many.
You know him?
I know him. You got a marshal in this town?
Yep. Right over there is his office. Name is Bradley.
Smoke took his gear and checked in at the hotel. He got the last room available. He registered as Jen Sin.
That's a funny name. No offense meant, mister.
You been in this country long?
I just got in from Maryland a few months back.
Then learn this. You belittle a man's name out here, and you'd best be ready to back it up with guns or fists.
Here now! There'll be none of that around me.
Smoke turned. A man stood before him with a big badge on his chest that read, Deputy U.S. Marshal. Smoke took in his high-top lace-up boots and eastern clothes. He wore a pistol in a flap holster. Smoke sized up the man. About his own age and about his size, although not as heavily muscled in the arms and shoulders. His hands were big and flat-knuckled and looked like he'd used them in fights more than once. Smoke looked at the other men. They were all dressed pretty much the same.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
United States Marshal Mills Walsdorf.
Come to bring peace to the wilderness?
I do not find law enforcement a humorous matter, sir. It is a very serious business.
I'd say so. That's what a woman told me in so many words, just before I buried her a couple of days ago.
What? Where did this take place?
North of here. Gang of scum rode through and shot her husband to ribbons, then raped the woman and her two children. Same gang of trash that shot up Big Rock.
Did the woman identify the gang?
She did.
Well, speak up, man. Who were they?
Lee Slater's pack of filth.
Those scoundrels!
Which direction did they head, man?
South.
Oh, say now. I find that hard to believe. We've been here several days and have seen no sign of them.
Where are you boys from?
From the Washington, D.C. and Chicago office. You look familiar. I've seen you somewhere.
I do get around.
Let's see the register. Jen Sen. It's obviously a phony name. Are you running from the authorities?
If you represent the authority, I wouldn't see any need in it.
I think, sir, that I do not care for your attitude.
I think, sir, that I do not give a damn what you care for.
You need to be taught a lesson in manners, sir.
And you think you're just a man to do that, huh?
I've thrashed better men than you more than once.
Cut your bulldog loose, Walsdorf. Just any time you feel lucky.
A light went on in the desk clerk's eyes.
Jen Sen. Jensen! Good Lord, that's Smoke Jensen, Marshal!
Oh, well, that explains it.
Hear me well, Mr. U.S. Marshal. Lee Slater and his gang attacked Big Rock about 10 days ago. They killed several people, including a little girl, and they wounded my wife, Sally. The former Sally Reynolds. You've probably heard the name since her family owns most of New England. Nobody shoots my wife, Walsdorf, and gets away with it. Nobody. Not Lee Slater's bunch, not a marshal, not a sheriff, not the President of the United States. There's a little town up on the Gunnison where the Taylor River feeds into it. I found 3 of Slater's men there. I hope somebody buried them shortly after I rode out, because they damn sure smelled bad alive. Now, I'm going to find the rest of that gang, and I'm going to kill them. All of them. And I don't need some fancy-pants U.S. Marshal from back east stumbling around screwing up what trail there is left. You understand me?
Now you listen to me, Mr. Smoke Jensen. I realize that you have some reputation, but the West is changing. Your kind is on the way out, and it's past due in coming. Now I've...
Jensen! Smoke Jensen! Step out here and die!
Albert, step out there and see what that man is bellowing about.
A man joined him. He too wore a badge pinned to his shirt. He looked at Smoke.
It's Chris Mathers out there, Jensen. He's a local troublemaker. Pretty good with a gun. Better than I am. You killed his big brother several years ago. He used to ride for a scum named Davidson.
I remember Davidson. Ran an outlaw town. I killed him and his personal bodyguard, man by the name of Daggett. I don't remember any Mathers. How'd you know that?
The name's Bradley. I'm the local marshal.
Smoke Jensen! You're a coward, Jensen! A dirty little boot-licking coward!
Smoke slipped a hammer thong from his guns.
Now there'd be none of that.
There's no law against it. This ain't back east where you kiss every punk's butt that comes along. So why don't you just close your mouth and see how we do it in the west?
I don't have any quarrel with you, boy. So why don't you just go on home, and we'll forget you calling me out.
Big tough man! I always knowed you was yeller.
He's giving you a chance to live, boy. Take it. You'll never get another one after this day.
You shut up! Make your play, gunfighter. I said draw, damn you!
I got nothing against you, boy. Far as I know, the marshal has no charges against you. So you're not wanted. Go get your horse and ride on out of here.
He's giving him every chance.
Yes, he is. He's a tough man, but he seems to be a fair one.
I'll kill you where you stand, Jensen. Draw!
I'll not sign your death certificate, boy. You'll have to draw on me.
Are you ready to die?
No man is ever ready to die, boy.
Now!
Mathers went for his gun. Smoke's right-hand Colt seemed to leap into his hand. Ah! Mathers felt the slug strike him in the chest. It was the last thing he ever felt. His own gun was still in leather.
Holy mother of God! He's fast as a snake!
I didn't come into your town to cause trouble, Marshal.
I know that. What you probably done was save me a lot of trouble. Mathers was born to it and had a killing coming.
Smoke walked back into the hotel.
Now what in the world did he mean by that?
I could try to explain it to you, Mills. But people like you never seem to understand until it's just too damn late.
Smoke lingered over his coffee after breakfast, pondering his next move.
May I join you?
Suit yourself, Mills.
Can't get used to having no menu.
It's on the chalkboard over there.
I know where it is. I'm not blind. Look, I'm afraid we got off on the wrong foot yesterday, Mr. Jensen. I should like to make amends and offer you some employment.
The first part is fine with me. Forget the job offer.
You would be doing your country a great service by joining us and helping to bring an end to this reign of terror put on the land by Lee Slater and his men.
I intend to put an end to it, Mills. Permanently.
The men deserve a fair trial.
They deserve a bullet. And that is what they're gonna get.
You're gonna force me to stop you, Mr. Jensen.
I'd be right interested in knowing how you plan on doing that, Mills.
By arresting you for obstruction of justice, that's how.
First, you better get yourself a federal warrant for my arrest. Nearest telegraph station is south of here, across the San Juan Mountains. The federal judge is in Denver. I know him. You'll play hell getting him to sign a warrant against me. And if you get another to sign it, I'll get the judge in Denver to cancel it. But that's only part of your problem. The biggest problem facing you would be trying to arrest me.
You're very sure of yourself, aren't you, Mr. Jensen?
The name is Smoke. And yeah, I am. You ever heard of the Silver Camp shootout?
Yes. That was a setting in one of those penny dreadfuls written about you. Pure fiction, of course.
Wrong, Mills. Pure fact. There were 15 outlaws in that town when I went in. There were 15 dead men when I rode out. I wasn't much more than a boy in age. You ever seen a cornered puma, Mills?
No.
You ever try to brace me, Mills? And you'll see one.
Are you threatening me?
Nope. Just telling you the way it'll be.
I can have 100 U.S. Marshals here in a week, Smoke.
You'll need them. I was raised by mountain men, Mills. I know areas in this country that still haven't been viewed by white men. I'll get you so damn lost you'll have a beard a foot long before you find your way out. I know where to ride and where not to ride. And the last part is far more important than the first. And as far as you and your boys taking me in, forget it. You'd have to pay too terrible a price. I've had as many as 5 slugs in me and stayed on my feet shooting. The men who put those slugs in me are rotting in the grave. I'd think about that if I was you.
I don't think you'd draw on an officer of the law, Smoke.
I wouldn't want to do it. I surely wouldn't. Most of them just get out of my way and leave me alone. They know I'm not a criminal. They know I work hard and try to live right. Western lawmen also know that you gotta put a rabid animal down. There's no cure for what they got.
Men are not animals, Smoke.
You're right. Many men aren't nearly as good as animals. Animals don't kill for no reason. They kill to protect their mate or their cubs. They fight for territory and food. Only man kills for the fun of it. And there are lots of species of animals who won't tolerate a rogue animal. One of their kind goes bad, the others will drive it out. Or kill it.
Smoke got up and headed for the door. Mills looked over to a young officer at a table nearby.
Winston!
Yes, sir?
Go keep an eye on Jensen. Sit right there in the lobby. It's the only way out.
You can count on me, sir.
By that afternoon, Smoke was halfway between Gap and Beaver Creek.
He's what?
He's gone, sir. Liveryman said he pulled out this morning.
How?
On his horse, I suppose.
Impossible! Come with me!
Mills and Winston bounded up the stairs to Smoke's room. The window was wide open.
Damn! Climbed out the window, up to the roof, and went down into the alley. Tell the men to provision up and get mounted. We're pulling out. You've got to see that justice is done. It's our sworn duty. This lawlessness has got to stop. And by God, I intend to be the one to stop it.
The next day, Smoke crossed Beaver Creek and stayed to the east of Wolf Creek Pass and Park Creek. This time of year, early spring, Wolf Creek Pass would be chancy. He was pretty sure Slater and his pack of hyenas would stay clear of Pagosa Springs, which meant Injun healing waters. The town was not a new one and was populated by men who would not look kindly upon outlaws coming in and raising hell. It was wild and beautiful country he was riding through now. Still wild and beautiful, despite the onslaught of settlers from the east. This was not farming country, although a few were running cattle in the area. There was a little bit of a town down near Mix Lake, just north of the Alamosa River. That would be ideal for Slater to hit. Faint tracks indicated that Slater and his bunch had split up into small groups, but they were all heading in a southeasterly direction, and more south than east. That would put the little settlement directly in their path. Smoke turned south and put Del Norte Peak to his right, riding through some of the most rugged country the state had to offer, and that was saying a mouthful. He climbed higher and higher. Uncasing his field glasses, he began a slow, careful sweep of the area. He spotted half a dozen smoke trails from cook fires, all well to the north of his location. He smiled. Slater and his bunch were hopelessly tangled up and taking the rough and rugged way to the settlement. The settlement was still a half day's ride ahead of him when he ran into two unshaven and thoroughly mistrustful-looking men riding down the narrow road. The riders eyeballed him suspiciously as they neared where Smoke sat his horse, his right hand resting near the butt of his .44.
You boys look like you've been riding hard. Plum tuckered out.
You figure that's any of your business?
My. Aren't we touchy today? Just trying to be friendly, fellas. Heading down to the settlement?
You got a nose problem. You know that, mister?
I don't have near the problems you boys are about to have.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, you boys think the reception you got in Big Rock was hostile. You're about to find out that was a picnic compared to what's looking at you now.
I think you got a big fat mouth, and I think I'll just close it. Permanently.
Before you do that, I got a message for you.
From who?
From that woman and her two daughters you raped and killed up north of here. And from her husband that you trash used for target practice. So enjoy all the comforts of hell, boys.
What's your damn name?
Smoke Jensen.
The outlaws grabbed for their guns. And Smoke emptied two saddles. The bigger of the two scum tried to lift his pistol. Smoke shot him between the eyes, shifted the muzzle of his .44, and put another slug in the second man's chest.
You'll never leave this part of the country alive, Jensen.
Maybe. But that isn't doing you much good right now, is it?
God damn you all to hellfire, you son of a bitch!
My goodness. Such language while on the way to meet the Lord.
You kiss my ass!
Smoke stripped the saddles from the horses and turned them loose. He took the men's guns and money, and then shoved the dead bodies over the side of the mountain road.
See ya, fellas.
Several miles down the road, Smoke came to a cabin.
Hello, the cabin!
A woman, a man, and two wide-eyed kids peeked around the corner of the cabin that was set well off the road in a thick stand of timber.
I'm friendly. Can I water my horse?
You can. I'll not turn no man away from this house who's in need.
Thanks kindly. Some outlaws tried to rob me up the road a piece. They weren't very good at their work.
Smoke placed the rifles and pistols on a bench next to the house.
They're part of a much larger gang that'll be coming along this road shortly, I'm thinking. I took this money and those rifles and pistols off the dead men. Figured I'd run into someone who needed them more than me. You folks look like you've hit some hard times here.
Yours ain't, mister. There must be several hundred dollars here.
I didn't count it, and I'm no saint, ma'am. Now, was I you folks? I pack me some food and bedding and take off for the deep timber until the trouble is over. Get those kids out of harm's way.
We'll do that, mister. You the law?
No. I've been tracking these outlaws since they rode into town near where I lived and shot it up. One of the people they shot was my wife.
What's your name?
Jensen, ma'am. Smoke Jensen. Yeah.
Those folks just stood there with their mouths hanging open as Smoke rode away. Smoke made the settlement by late afternoon and stabled his horse at the livery.
They got rooms to let over the saloon. They ain't much, but they're better than nothing. Bonnie's Cafe serves right good food, if the cook ain't drunk. Don't I know you?
I doubt it. First time I ever been here. Does town have a name?
It had three or four. Right now we're twixt and tween.
You got a marshal?
Nope. Had one, but he left because we couldn't pay him. Among other reasons. Had a bank, but it closed. Got one stage a week comes through, heads north. You want to go south, you're in trouble. It starts out in Monte Vista and makes a big circle. Alamosa, Canaas, through here and back up the grade.
You ever heard of the Lee Slater gang?
Nope.
You will.
Smoke gathered his gear and walked to the saloon and dumped his saddlebags on the bar.
Got a room for a few days, barkeep?
Yep, and you can take your choice. They're all empty. The best in the house will cost you a dollar a night. Dollar and a half for clean sheets.
Change the sheets. I want a room facing the street.
You got it. Number one, top of the stairs and turn right. You can't miss it.
Tub inside?
You gotta be kidding. Tub's behind the barber shop. Want me to have one filled up?
Yeah.
50 cents.
Smoke bathed, then had the barber shave him and cut his hair.
Lilac water? 2 bits. And you smell so good, the ladies will be banging down your door tonight.
Sure. How many people in this town?
Oh, 65 at last count. We're a growing little community for sure. Got us the best general store within 50 miles, yeah. Freight wagons just run yesterday, and she's stocked to the overflowing.
Any strangers been riding through?
Well, strangers, strangers. But yeah, there has been, come to think of it. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. Some real hard-looking old boys. Stopped over to the saloon and had them a taste. Then looked the town over real careful-like. Made me kind of edgy.
Who runs this town?
Mayor and town council. Why?
Because you got a big bunch of outlaws probably planning to hit this place within the next few days. I've been on their trail for several weeks. Lee Slater's bunch out of California. They hit my town up north of here and killed several people.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. And us without no marshal.
You want a lawman?
Well, sure, but we can't pay no decent wage.
You go get the mayor and the town council. Tell them I'll work as marshal for a time. Free.
Oh, that right. You, got any qualifications to do the job?
I think so.
Hot diggity damn! Now you just sit right back there. Here, here's a newspaper from Denver. It ain't but 3 weeks old. Don't go nowheres. I'll be right back.
That bartender was back in a flash with the men. The mayor was the owner of the general store, and the town council was made up of the blacksmith, the saloon keeper, and the livery man. They listened to Smoke and shook their heads.
Well, that many outlaws would destroy this town. You figure that you'd do any good stopping them, mister?
I think so, Mayor.
You ain't but one man. Well, hell, we don't even know your name.
Smoke Jensen.
Here's a badge. Raise your right hand, sir.
Smoke was leaning up against an awning post in front of the saloon when Mills Walsdorf and his men rode into town. 3 very boring and totally uneventful days had passed with no sign of any of the Slater gang. Mills gave Smoke a disgusted look as he noticed the star pinned to Smoke's chest. He turned his horse and stopped at the hitch rail.
Have a good ride, Mills.
Oh, very funny, Jensen. Did you kill those 2 men we found off the side of the road a few miles back?
Yeah, they accosted me on the trail, and I was forced to defend myself.
My God, man, you could have at least given them a decent burial.
They weren't decent people.
Oh, you're disgusting, Jensen. The vultures had picked at them.
They probably flew off somewhere and died.
Did you really think you could lose us?
Only if I wanted to. You may be city boys, but you probably know how to use a compass.
To be sure. Now please tell me about that badge you're wearing.
This? I think it's made of tin.
Oh, you are a very difficult man to speak with, Jensen.
I believe the Slater gang is heading this way. The town didn't have a marshal. I volunteered. They accepted my unpaid services.
Well, we're here now, so you can feel free to resign.
That right. And what are you going to do when the Slater gang hits town? Talk them to death?
I intend to arrest them, Jensen. Then we'll try them and see that they get long prison sentences.
How about a long rope?
I don't believe in capital punishment.
Oh, Lord. What have I done for you to send this down on me?
Come now, man. You're obviously a fellow of some intelligence. You surely know that the death penalty doesn't work.
The hell it doesn't. They damn sure don't come back from the grave to commit more crimes.
That's not what I mean. It isn't a deterrent for others not to commit the same acts of mayhem.
Now, what bright fellow thought up that crap?
Very learned people in some of our finest eastern universities.
Smoke had a few choice words to say about those very learned people, but he kept them to himself.
By the way, there's rooms upstairs here, Mills. Take your baths across the street behind the barbershop. Don't try supper at Bonnie's Cafe this evening. Cook's been drunk today. That apple, turnip, and carrot stew he fixed for lunch was rough.
Later on, Mills and his marshals were sitting at one table in the saloon, with Smoke sitting alone at another playing solitaire, when half a dozen men crowded into the saloon and headed for the bar. They eyeballed the U.S. marshals and grinned at their high-top lace-up boots and their trousers tucked in. Mills cut his eyes to Smoke. The gunfighter had merely looked up from his game, giving the newcomers the briefest of glances, and apparently dismissed them.
Whiskey all around.
You got it, Luddy.
Here you got some law in this town now. I reckon me and the boys will have to mind our P's and Q's. We sure wouldn't want to run afoul of the law.
Smoke had been briefed on these men. The one with the biggest mouth was Luddy Charles, owner of the 7 Slash Ranch. The foreman was named Jake. Neither man was very likable, and both were bullies, as were the dozen or so hands the ranch kept on the payroll. Smoke had also learned that the last marshal the town hired had not left because the town couldn't pay him, but because he'd been savagely beaten by the men from the 7 Slash.
Where is this new marshal? I want to size him up and maybe have some fun.
I hope he ain't one of these pretty boys, Jake. That wouldn't be no contest at all.
Hey, you! What are you doing?
Minding my own business. Why don't you do the same?
You got a smart mouth on you, mister. Maybe you don't know who I am.
I don't care who you are.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
The new town marshal.
I bet he's sitting over there in the dark because he's so ugly.
Well, Why don't we just drag him out in the light and have a look at him?
And then we'll stomp him.
That's Smoke Jensen, boys.
Oh, shit.
If there's any stomping to be done in this town, I'll do it, Luddy. And I just might decide to start with you. I don't like bullies, and you're a bully. I don't like big mouth fatheads, and you're a big mouth fathead. You're packing iron. Use it, or shut your goddamn mouth.
I got no quarrel with you. Boys are just fun and some.
No, they weren't. And you know it. They're all bullies, just like you. I've heard all about how you and your crew comes into this town, intimidating and bullying other people. I've heard how you like to pick fights and hurt people. You want to fight me, Luddy? How about it? No guns, just fists. You want that, Luddy?
I shall ensure it is a fair fight.
Luddy, look at that one's badge. Them Eastern dudes is U.S. Marshals.
We'll be going, boys.
What the hell's Jensen doing here?
I don't know. What about them U.S. Marshals? You reckon they're on to us?
How could they be? Not even the sheriff suspects anything.
I don't like it.
Well, hell, how the hell do you think I feel about it?
You push hard, Mr. Jensen. There might have been a killing.
You figure Luddy's death would be a crushing blow to humanity?
Sometimes your speech is so homey, it's cloying. Other times it appears to come straight from the classics. I'm new to the West, Mr. Jensen.
Smoke. Just smoke.
Very well. Smoke. I have much to learn about the West and its people.
We saddle our own horses, kill our own snakes.
And the law?
We obey it for the most part, where there is law. But when you come up on people rustling your stock, a man don't usually have the time to ride 50 miles to get a sheriff. Things tend to get hot and heavy real quick. Someone starts shooting at you, you shoot back.
I can understand that. I'm not the legal stickler you think I am, Smoke. There are times when a person must defend oneself. But there are other times when men knowingly take the law into their own hands, and that's what I'm opposed to.
Like you think I'm doing.
Like you have been doing. But now you're sworn in as an officer of the law. That makes all the difference.
You really believe that?
In most cases, yes. In your case, no. What would you do should Lee and his men attack this town right now?
Empty a lot of saddles.
And be killed doing it.
Not likely. Anyway, I don't think he's going to attack this town.
Oh? And when did you change your mind?
During the course of the day.
And what do you think he's going to do?
I have an idea, but it's just a thought. I'll let you know when I have it all worked out. And I will let you in on it, Mills. You have my word.
Fair enough.
Are some of you going to be in town tomorrow?
Yes. We're waiting on word from the home office. We sent word where we'd be from that little settlement on the Rio Grande. The stage runs in a couple of days.
I appreciate you staying close. I'll pull out early in the morning to do some snooping. Be back late tomorrow night. See you then.
The next morning, Smoke pulled out several hours before dawn, pointing Buck's nose toward the east, staying on the south side of the Alamosa River. Luddy's Seven Slash Ranch lay about 20 miles south of the town. Luddy was up to something besides ranching. Those hands of his were more than cowboys. Smoke had a hunch they were drawing fighting wages. And if that was true, who were they fighting and why? At the first color in the dawn, Smoke was on a hill overlooking Luddy's ranch house, looking things over through field glasses. He studied the men as they exited the bunkhouse, heading for chow in a building next to it.
15 men. Three or four probably aren't in yet from night herding. That's a hell of a lot of cowboys for a spread this size. What are you up to, Luddy?
Smoke stayed on the ridges as long as he dared.
That's odd. For a working ranch, there doesn't seem to be much going on. Come to think of it, I didn't see any cattle on my way in. Just a lot of posted and no trespassing signs. There's too many odd things cropping up about the Seven Slash Ranch. And I don't think it has a damn thing to do with cattle.
That evening, Smoke and Mills sat on the boardwalk in front of the saloon, enjoying the night air.
So, what is going on?
I don't know. The barber says Luddy told him he stripped his range during roundup. A range detective would have probably accepted that, but he hasn't run any cattle in several years on the ground that I cover today. Any cattleman could see that.
So why does he have the big crew? All of them fighting men.
Maybe I know.
Share it with me.
It's just a guess.
A lot of good police work starts right there.
It might be that he hit a silver strike and wants it all for himself, mining it out in secret. But a better guess is that he's running a front for stolen goods.
I like the second one. But I have some questions about that theory. Why is one? He's a rancher who's done very well from all indications. He's a reasonably moneyed man. I suppose we could chalk it up to greed. However, assuming you're correct, there must be other reasons.
Why, after all the years of outlawing on the West Coast, would Lee Slater put together a gang and come to Colorado? The West Coast is where all his contacts and hiding places would be.
Where are you going with this, Smoke?
I don't know. I'm just trying to put all the pieces together. I may be completely off base. All I've got is gut hunches. Can you do some background work?
Certainly. On whom?
Luddy Charles and Lee Slater.
How could they be connected?
Maybe by blood.
The Lee Slater gang seemed to drop off the face of the earth. 5 days went by with no word of any outlaw activity in the area. The sheriff of the county and two of his deputies rode into town.
Smoke Jensen? You're the new town marshal?
Last time I checked, yep.
Sheriff Dick Silva shut his slack jaw and shut the small marshal office's door.
All right. But why here of all places?
Smoke laid it out for the man, but he said nothing of his suspicions of Luddy Charles. The sheriff nodded his head.
We heard Slater was in this area. If he is, he's found him a dandy hidey hole.
Dick, can you make me a deputy sheriff of this county?
I sure can. It'd be an honor.
How soon?
Well, stand up and raise your right hand.
After being sworn in, Smoke and Silva sat in the office and chatted. Mills and his men were out of town, roaming around, looking for signs of the Slater gang.
It could be that Slater learned about the new silver strikes to the north and east of here. Big ones up around Creed, but we got some dandy smaller ones in this area.
Any gold?
Yeah, a few producing mines, yeah. Stage Line's putting on more people, and they'll be running through here every other day commencing shortly. This town'll boom for a while, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, I've seen a few boom towns in my life.
You rode with old Preacher, didn't you, Smoke?
Yeah. He raised me after my dad was killed. Yeah, I knew all the old mountain men. Beartooth, Dupree, Gray Bull, Nighthawk, Tennessee, P.U., Audie, Matt, Deadlead. Hell of a breed of men they were.
Tell me what else is on your mind, son. You've been stepping around something for a goddamn hour now.
I had a run-in with Luddy Charles the other night.
Oh, I don't have much use for Luddy. When he first come into this country, years back, he's a hard-working man, but I didn't approve of the way he built up his ranch. He was one of them homesteader burners, if they got in his way. The sheriff back then was easy bought and in his pocket. I ain't. Luddy steps cautious-like around me.
I took a ride over to his place the other day. He appears to be a man who don't like visitors.
All them posted signs? Now, they went up about 5 years ago, about the same time the bottom dropped out of the beef market for a while. And Luddy took to hiring hard cases to ride for him. I've run off or jailed a few of his hands. He's got some bad uns working for him.
But no cattle.
You noticed too, huh?
Of course, there's no law that says a man has to run cattle on his ranch if he doesn't want to.
Nope. But it sure makes me awful curious about just how he's earning a living.
Is that right?
I know where you're going with this, Smoke, but I have no authority to go busting up onto his property demanding to know how he earns his livelihood. And a judge would just throw me out of his chambers if I tried to get a search warrant based on our gut hunches.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, say it all, Smoke. You're one of my deputies now. You can't hold back from the boss.
I got a hunch there's some connection between Slater and Luddy. I've asked a U.S. Marshal to check their backgrounds. He's doing that now. Probably be a week or more before anything comes back in.
You make a good lawman, Smoke.
I've toted a badge more than once. County, state, and federal. Mills Walsdorf doesn't know that, though.
What do you think of the man?
I like him. I thought he was a pompous, stuffed shirt windbag when I first met him. But he sort of grows on you. He sure has some funny ideas about enforcing the law. He doesn't believe in the death penalty.
What?
Says it's barbaric and doesn't accomplish anything. Says criminals aren't really to blame for what they do.
Say what?
Says it's home life and pressure from friends and so forth that cause criminals. Rejection and things like that. Says all sorts of real smart folks back in fine Eastern universities thought all this out.
Oh, I hope them thoughts don't ever catch on. Good God, in 100 years, criminals would be running the country.
It was a very weary and dejected-looking bunch of U.S. Marshals that rode back into town late in the afternoon. After a bath and a shave, Mills walked over to Smoke's office.
Cover a lot of ground, did you?
More than I care to repeat anytime soon. Oh, I didn't accomplish a damn thing.
Now, don't look at it like that. You accomplished a great deal, in fact.
Well, I'd like to know what.
You saw the country, and if you're just as half as smart as I think you are, you committed it to memory. You know where good water is now? You found some box canyons, and now know to stay out of them. You found good places to bed down for the night. You found where outlaws might hold up. You know where good river and stream crossings are located. And you saw some of the most beautiful country in the entire world.
Yes. You're right on all counts, Smoke. Say now, where did the new badge come from?
Smoke told Mills of Sheriff Silva's visit.
The sheriff checks out as a good, honest lawman. He's a rancher that got caught up in the market bust years back and turned to police work. His ranch rebounded, but he was hooked on police work by that time, and the people of the county like him. He earns enough money from both vocations to ensure he can't be bought.
Find out anything about Letty Charles?
A few things. The people around here don't like him and don't trust him. He says he came here from Texas, but people doubt that. Oklahoma territory seems to be the general consensus. Early on, he let it slip that he's fairly knowledgeable about that part of the country.
So why would he lie about it?
Oh, you know the answer to that as well as I do. He's hiding something in his past. Could be running away from a wife. It certainly happened to other men.
With Luddy, it's more like a rope he's running from.
Agreed. But proving it is another matter, I'll put some feelers out. It'll take some time. Well, I'm gonna go get some rest. I'm all in. I'll see you in the morning.
Smoke did some paperwork, then locked up the office and stepped into the gathering dusk of evening. He patrolled the settlement streets, which took no time at all, then headed for Bonnie's Cafe for a cup of coffee. Movement at the edge of town stopped him. Smoke stepped into a weed-grown space between the empty bank building and the general store and waited.
There it is again.
At that distance, he couldn't tell if the movement was human or animal. He removed his spurs and put them in his pocket while he waited and watched, not staring directly at the mysterious shape, because some people can sense being watched. The form began to take shape as it drew nearer, staying in the shadows. It was a man, no doubt about that, moving slowly and furtively. The man ducked down the far side of Bonnie's Cafe, and Smoke took that time to run across the street and into the alley that ran between the combination saddle shop, gunsmith building, and the saloon. Staying close to the building, but not brushing against it, Smoke pulled iron and eased the hammer back just as the man stepped into the rear of the alley.
You looking for someone, partner?